I'm Danny Kay, one of the hosts for Next to Nothing, a podcast for gamers on a budget, and here's a quick clip from the show.
It's a lot more subtle.
Yeah. So, like, whenever you do something that, like, another character doesn't like, you can kind of read it on their face, but it doesn't outright tell you, that was a bad move. This is who you're trying to hook up with. And you can always go back and, like, reconcile if you kind of pick up on something like that later. There's a lot of drama going on at first that you don't quite understand what's happening. Because, you've got the super nosy, like office manager, I guess you would call her. But she's also a resident, aiming for her in episode two. But you got her, and then she's trying to keep an eye on another person. If, you know, you try to get too snoopy with that person, they'll think you're being nosy and won't like you as much. And, you know, kind of vice versa. If you kind of let her do her own thing, the other one might. So, like, I don't think there's a way to just go and have, like, an all-out old person orgy, which is kind of a bummer.
If you like that, join us live every Tuesday on Twitch at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, or find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are found.
Hello everyone, this is the Controller Disconnected Podcast. I am your host, Matthias Carnero. Like so many people around the world, I have also been stuck at home these past couple of months, and I'm always looking for a nice distraction to escape from the real world. Among the many single-player games out there, I found my refuge on Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which greatly surprised and pleased me during the month or so that I played it. Now I'm here to make its case for you to also play it, especially now that a new game in the series has just been announced. Listen along, and let me tell you the tales of ancient Greece. Before we begin, I need to issue a correction. In the last episode, I said that the person behind the AI in Games YouTube channel was called Tommy Robinson. His name is actually Tommy Thompson. I'm really, really sorry for that blunder, and I'll pay more attention when dropping names next time. I am much better at remembering faces. Secondly, if you want a much, much more brief summary of the game in this episode, you can listen to the 20-second review I made for the Listen, Rinse, Repeat podcast. It's a show that publishes many short audio stories, lasting around 20 seconds, as that's the recommended amount of time we should be washing our hands to clean them properly. I'll be producing more short reviews for them in the future, but the other contributions are also very entertaining, so definitely subscribe to them and wash your hands. I'll leave a link to my episode in the show notes. Right, now let's begin our Odyssey right here on Controller Disconnected. I had little hands-on knowledge of the Assassin's Creed series before playing Odyssey. My first time was during the Revelations multiplayer beta back around 2011. I had a good time with it, but I never ended up playing the full game once it was released. After that, it will be a few more years before I picked up another game in the series. That will be Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag in 2013. I had just gotten the PS4 at the very end of that year, and I wanted some games to fill up my initial library. And since we weren't very spoiled for choices at that time, being a console launch at all, I decided that giving AC another try wouldn't hurt. It was a fine game, I can't remember having any deal-breaking issues with it, and I generally had a good time playing. The only thing that I didn't like as much was the emphasis on naval combat and the piracy setting. I struggled to keep my ship alive most of the time, and I'm just not into pirates in general, unfortunately. I still have my copy though, so maybe one of these days I'll give it another try. That was my last rodeo with Assassin's Creed until last March or so. Ubisoft offered players a free weekend trial for Odyssey at one point, and I took them up on that offer. I was surprisingly engrossed and was enjoying the game a lot during the few hours that I got to play in the trial, and seeing that it was also on a very good sale, I didn't think twice before buying a full copy. The end result was over a month playing AC Odyssey almost exclusively, over 100 hours of gameplay during that time, and another platinum trophy for my collection. Safe to say, I already squeezed all I could from it. Even right now, making this episode, I still feel like I could go back and have a good time walking around the Greek world and soaking in the details. But that's not to say it's without any flaws. I will touch upon those in due time. For now, let's go back and start at the beginning. It should go without saying that there will be some spoilers, but I'll try and keep them to a minimum. Like other Assassin's Creed games, there is an overarching plot taking place in present times involving the Abstergo Company, the Assassin's Order, the Templars, and a bunch of other stuff that I don't remember. In all honesty, I barely paid attention to those sequences, so I couldn't tell you what was going on if you asked me about it. The main story takes place inside the Animus' simulation of ancient Greece. The Animus is a kind of virtual reality machine which recreates memories from the main character of the game. In Odyssey, you have the option of choosing your main character, siblings Alexios or Cassandra. I chose Cassandra because she looked the most badass of the two. It's also the canon choice from what I read, so I guess there's that also. But we don't start off immediately with either of them. We're actually thrown into the heat of the Battle of 300 as the Spartan warrior King Leonidas, both made famous by the graphic novel and the movie, but with less one-liners and no Gerhard Butler in the game. It also works as a combat tutorial for the game, where you learn about light and heavy attacks, combat abilities, and blocking enemy attacks. The game before this, Assassin's Creed Origins, began to shift the series from emphasizing stealth and free running to more conventional melee combat and also included RPG elements such as stats for armor or weapons and special abilities. That's not to say the series' signature assassinations are gone, but the game pushes you to engage enemies more directly at some points instead of just lurking in the shadows all the time. I didn't think I would like this change when I heard of it, but after playing, I don't actually mind it. It shakes up the formula, but it doesn't reinvent the wheel, if you get what I mean. After the prologue, we're introduced to the main character you picked at the beginning. Since I chose Cassandra, I'll be referring to her as the protagonist for this episode. The island of Kefalonia serves as an introduction to the greater scope of the game. It's a small place, but with a good degree of freedom for its size. Once you get your own ship and leave the island is when the rest of the Greek world opens up to you. It can be quite intimidating to open the map, zoom out, and realize the great size of the game world. But by the end of your playthrough, you'll have visited most of the places available and not even notice. It speaks volumes to the immersion the game provides, to just lose yourself in it and stay there for hours on end. It helps that there's no minimap to take your attention away, only a compass at the top of the screen and some waypoints and markers. A good balance between immersing the player and not letting them get too lost either. To help you in your exploration, you have an eagle companion named Icarus. When you use him, you get a literal bird's eye view of your surroundings and can tag points of interest, as well as enemies that populate buildings and forts. Like in previous AC games, there are landmarks across the world where you can synchronize, but instead of putting a lot of little icons on your map, you increase the perception of Icarus. This makes tagging places and enemies much faster, and with enough synchronizations, you can even have Icarus attack animals while you hunt them for resources, and even deal a good amount of damage against enemies. Combat can be either stealthy or head-on melee. There are different types of weapons to use, from swords, daggers, staffs, spears, as well as heavier weapons that are slower to use. I stuck to using daggers, as they're the quickest weapons to attack with, and dealing damage with speed is key to winning battles in this game. Assassinations deal plenty of damage and have the advantage of not raising any alarms, so when invading buildings or forts is very useful. It's also very satisfactory to be able to clear an enemy outpost without attracting any attention, feeling like a ghost sucking the life out of those who cross me. There's also the option for ranged combat, with the tried and true bow and arrow. Better weapons and armor can be looted from enemies and upgraded at blacksmiths, and can be engraved with additional stats or damage types like fire and poison. Your ship in AC Odyssey is called the Adrestia, and you stick with it for the whole game. At first it's a rickety boat, good enough for sailing and not much else, but as you get more powerful and richer, you can upgrade it and make it a force to be reckoned with. Your true weapons for naval combat are arrows and javelins. Both are very similar, but one is used for longer ranges and the other for closer fights. They're also available in fire types with the right upgrades. You can get more up close and personal by bashing your ship against your enemies for massive damage. Once they're down for the count, you can either board your ship and pick off their crew one by one, keep firing until they sink, or bash into them one last time, splitting them in half. Outside of fighting, sailing can be a relaxing pastime too. Dropping the sails and gliding across the endless sea, listening to your crew singing shanties while moving on to the next destination in your odyssey. The downtime is just as memorable as the high times. All of this is in large contrast to the sailing in Assassin's Creed 4, which was one of the things that I least liked about it, as I mentioned before. Though it might be in part due to my preference for the ancient Greece setting. Somewhat similar to the Grand Theft Auto games, there is a wanted system. If you commit crimes such as killing people, stealing things, or destroying property, you'll have a bounty placed on your head and be hunted down by mercenaries looking to collect on it. The mercenaries are very fierce fighters, smarter than normal soldiers and guards, and they give you a hard time during battle. But you can also avoid them if you so desire, whether you don't think you can stand up to them, or just don't feel like facing one. You can also just stumble upon mercenaries while exploring the world, but they won't attack you on sight unless you strike first. You can tell which mercs are hunting you down by the red icon on the map and on your compass. If the icon is white, you're off the hook. On top of that, there's a mercenary ranking that you can check on the pause menu. At first they're a bunch of silhouettes, but they get revealed once you learn of their identities. For every mercenary tier, you unlock additional benefits for yourself, such as discounts on weapons and upgrades from the blacksmith, or better loot from enemies and pots and chests in the world. Or the ultimate reward, and my favorite thing in the entire game, Abraxas, the legendary flaming horse. It's just a skin for your normal horse though, it doesn't set anything on fire. At least I never managed to make that happen. But it looks very cool, which is the main point. Shortly after you leave your home island, you are introduced to the main evil faction of the game, the Cult of Cosmos. They're a group of influential people from all over Greece, pulling strings from the underground for their nefarious purposes. As they meet under a temple, they're all wearing cloaks and masks to hide their identities, so during your infiltration of that meeting, you can't tell who is who. As the game progresses, you'll discover who they are and dispose of each member, one by one. However, the big pickle in the situation is that one of the members of the cult is the great warrior Deimos, also known as your long-lost brother, Alexios. Whether he also dies or lives to see another day is up to you. For the record, if you choose to play as Alexios instead of Cassandra, the roles are reversed and she is Deimos instead. But don't think that killing them all will be a walk in the agora. The cult members and their guards are some of the toughest enemies in the game. Some will be easier than others, such as politicians and non-combative members, but warriors will put up a good fight against you. There are also a few whom you will engage in naval battles with, and their ships are pretty hefty. Each member drops loot, as well as clues to other cultists and artifact fragments that you can use to upgrade your spear and make it more powerful and pretty. The characterization of the cult makes them seem like a major force of evil, and really stimulates the player to go after them, and I found hunting on the cultists down to be a very fun part of the game. The Assassin's Creed series is famed for its dedication to historical accuracy, and Odyssey is of course no different. Classic locations such as the Acropolis, the Sanctuary of Delphi, and cities such as Athens, Sparta, and Olympia can all be found and visited. Everything looks gorgeous and colorful, even the statues that look white and pale nowadays were restored to their original colors. My favorite place in the game is the island of Mykonos, which looks just as beautiful as it does in present times and in real life. The water looks clear and shiny, the houses and buildings are white and bright, the whole place just looks really nice in general. I've never been there, but now it's one of the places I want to visit in my bucket list. Of course, being a video game, there were certain liberties taken in the name of making things more fun. There are a selection of mythical creatures you can fight, from Cyclopes, yes, plural, the Minotaur, the Sphinx, and even Medusa herself. And to top it all off, there's the underwater wonder itself, the Lost City of Atlantis. But that's an expansion you have to purchase separately, so I didn't get to see it for myself. For the history buffs who just want to walk around the place and not bother with fighting anyone, there's an exploration mode where you can visit all these places freely and learn some facts about them as well. In addition to cities, you also get to meet famous characters from the history of ancient Greece. Among them are the great historian Herodotus, the philosopher Socrates, politicians such as Pericles, Cleon, and Alcibiades, the great Spartan general Brasidas, the father of medicine Hippocrates, among many others. But the cherry on top of this historical cake is the fact that you can take part in the actual Olympics. This is a main plot point, so I'm not going to spoil too much of it, but it was really fun to take part in such a great event and experience something that was taught to me in my high school classroom. Nobody was actually naked during the sporting events though, but I suppose some sacrifices had to be made to keep the age rating down. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is a great game, but it's not without its faults. They are all minor, but they build on top of each other to piss me off to a certain degree. The main gripe I have regards the mercenaries. I said that there's a wanted system, which means that they hunt you down. The more crimes you commit, the higher the bounty is placed on you, and the more mercenaries go after you. If you are hit by an extreme bout of bad luck, you might have 2, 3, maybe even 4 mercenaries going against you at the same time. Those are strong fighters, so taking them all on at once is a recipe for disaster. Many times I ended up getting ganged up on and killed as a result, more often than not while I'm clearing a fort of soldiers and breaking things in it. It was a very frustrating thing to have happened to me, so I just started avoiding all the mercenaries that came after me on my big badass flaming horse once I reached the highest tier. Speaking of the horse, the controls for him can be finicky sometimes. He might stumble into things, and when you want him to jump over an obstacle, he'll just run in place stuck. And I also just don't like how he slows down in main populated areas. I'm in a hurry, dammit! But overall, it's not as grating as something like Red Dead Redemption 2. You can actually call the horse from wherever you are, no matter how far. There aren't any testicle physics either. On the topic of exploration, it grinds my gears that every time I get close to a quest objective marker, it disappears from my screen, and the game tells me that I have to bring up Picaros to mark it again. I understand this on the exploration mode, in which the game doesn't mark all the objectives on the map straight away, but this happens even on the guided mode, where the game does mark them. It gets repetitive and annoying having to tag something that was already there in the first place. And lastly, some of the quests in the game are clearly filler content. This isn't about the contracts and the bounties that you can find, but rather about things that people actually ask you to do. One of the types that repeats itself a lot is the "person took this from me, kill them and bring it back" quest. Sometimes you just have to kill a person and then go back to the quest giver, but the formula rarely strays from that. After a certain point, I stopped taking on these quests, but sometimes I would accidentally complete them and the game would tell me where the quest giver was so I could get my reward. I thought that was quite amusing at the very least. But my main problem is with a certain fetch quest for an Athenian general, where you have to get 3 seals from a Spartan Polybarchos, big elite leaders usually found inside forts. I completed that quest, and then he proceeded to ask for the same thing again. I had to do it 5 times in total, 15 different elites killed for 15 seals delivered. I thought that it would never end. I was relieved to have completed that damn quest, until I got to Sparta, and another general there asked for the same thing, but this time killing Athenian Polymarchos. At that point I just gave up and didn't even bother do it. It's just a side quest anyway, so I wasn't gonna waste my time doing the same thing 5 more times. I really hope the next game doesn't have this type of repetitive stuff. And that's Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It's a game chock full of content and plenty of fun things to do. Ancient Greece is an amazing setting, looks absolutely gorgeous, and being able to experience it up close is great. Combat is fun whether you decide to play it quiet or loud, and fighting under ships is hectic in a good way. It's not a perfect game, but I still highly recommend it for those who are still on the fence about it. Especially those who want to get their AC fixed now that Assassin's Creed Valhalla has been announced. Wait for the next sale, and have a good time. Don't forget to let me know about it, and do tell me how you're doing in the game. And that does it for this episode of Controller Disconnected. Thank you very much for listening, especially those of you in Argentina and Canada. I got a big spike of listeners over there after hitting the charts, so if you're one of those new listeners, please say hi. I love to talk to you. Please leave us a kind review on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. You can find a link to that in the show notes. You can subscribe for free and listen to future episodes of the show on your favorite podcast platform of choice. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the handle @condisconnected. If you really like listening to the podcast, please consider supporting with a couple of bucks at ko-fi.com/condisconnected. And last but not least, please share this episode with someone you know. Word of mouth really goes a long way to helping us grow. Once again, thank you for listening. I am Matthias Carnero, and I will talk to you soon.